I want to today, Thursday would have, in the past, would have been celebrated as Ascension Day. And I do think it's important for us to recognize the very important events in the year that we can celebrate, that we need to remember. We celebrate Easter, we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Pentecost, and Ascension Day. So I want to read from Acts Gospel, Luke's Gospel first, but you don't need to turn to that because the writer of the Acts continues from where he left off, basically, where he shared these words. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. In Acts 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And God will bless that reading of his word to us. It's always interesting to look and consider and feel, as it were, some of the experiences of these disciples. We are thankful today that we have the record of the gospel writers, we have the record of Scripture to help us. And what I want us to consider today is that I've entitled the message, "The Promise." And I want to come to that from a particular perspective. We have to recognize that what Jesus did with his disciples, he helped them to understand. He opened their minds so that they could understand what he was trying to teach them. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, for 40 days, he was in the wilderness. After he had been baptized by John, He was 40 days tempted of the devil. And then he began his ministry. Then he went to the cross, was buried, and rose again victorious over death. And then for 40 days, he continued with them. So for 40 days, Jesus revealed himself to these disciples and to many others during that time. You see, it is so important for us to realize that what we hold on to for our faith are facts. We need faith, but we also have facts, and the facts are recorded for us here. You know what it's like if you see and hear something once. As time goes on, you begin to wonder, did I really hear that? Was that a dream, or was that something? Was that just an illusion? And you can imagine if the disciples had been left with that one appearance, that just seeing him once following the resurrection, they probably would have questioned themselves. Is it real? But Jesus revealed himself for 40 days following his resurrection. And during that time, he taught them. It was an important time for the disciples. You see, Jesus wanted them to understand that the events that had taken place, that he was the fulfillment of Scripture, that all those events had taken place because it was part of God's plan of redemption, God's plan of salvation, that Jesus had to go to that cross, he had to die, he had to be buried, and he had to rise again victorious over death. And so the disciples were taught and were encouraged to know that Jesus was alive. They had seen the marks of the nails in his hands. They had seen that he still had a physical body that he could share with them in a meal. And here he is continuing to teach them, and they go with him. They follow him out to the Mount of Olives. And as he continues to teach them, as he had told them, he had shared with them the way in which those promises had been fulfilled, those things which had been spoken of by the Old Testament prophets, those pictures that we have of him in the tabernacle and in many other parts of the Old Testament. They were pointing to his coming, and he spent that time teaching them. And so for 40 days following his resurrection, he spent time with them. And as he shared with them about something about the future, he shared with them that they were going to be his witnesses. So to be a witness, you need to take notice of what is taking place. And so they needed that real affirmation, and they had it. They had that certainty that Jesus, the one who had died on that cross and been buried, was truly alive. And so he said, and instructed them to stay in Jerusalem until that promise, until the Holy Spirit would come. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And so here he had been giving them instructions. He had made a promise that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and then they would go out and be witnesses throughout the world. And as he had shared with them, as he led them out and he blessed them, just imagine as a cloud descended and then he was taken from their sight. They saw him no more. It's important for us to recognize that these disciples, as they stood on that Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem, as Jesus disappeared from their sight, he had already prepared them. But as they stood, it says in verse 10, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So these disciples knew that he was alive, but now he had ascended. He had gone back to heaven. I'm sure at that time, as they were reminded, as these two who were there revealed to them the truth that this Jesus will come back in the same way that you have seen him go. I wonder what was on their minds at that time. We read in Luke's Gospel that they returned with great joy and stayed in the temple worshiping. But you know what? I believe that they realized that as he had shared the truth about them, they knew that he now had gone to prepare a place. He had now gone back to be with his Father. And now he was given all authority. Paul, in his letter to Ephesians chapter 3, says this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that it may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Jesus ascended. Jesus gone to be with his Father, and was going to send the promise that his Father had made, the Holy Spirit, to come amongst them. Christ returned to glory. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. As they were frightened, as they were wondering about how they would, what would take place next, they waited in anticipation. Again, the Apostle Paul, he described himself as one born out of due time. He shared these words. And he had heard the testimony of others. He had seen Stephen being stoned. And on that road to Damascus, his life was transformed as he encountered the risen Christ. He says this: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The Apostle Paul, recognizing that Jesus now is at the right hand of the Majesty on high, crowned with glory and honor. He is ascended. He is in the presence of his Father. And now we can experience his presence with him. If he had remained in his human body, if he had not returned to heaven, then we would not have been able to get to know him. You know, because there were limitations. He could only be in one place at one time. But what a wonder that today that we can know his presence with us. But know that he is in heaven and he is at the right hand of the Majesty on high, crowned with glory and honor, and everything is under him and under his control. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And so he claimed that authority for himself, and the promise was that we too would experience his presence. As he gave the Great Commission, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." So Jesus is on high. He is ascended. But we can experience his presence. We can experience him with us by his Spirit. Those disciples on that day of ascension, they didn't waste any time. They went back to Jerusalem because he had told them and he had promised them. And so they returned with great joy to Jerusalem and remained praising God until that time when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. And then they moved out and shared what they had learned. It's important for us to recognize his ascension. It's important for us to realize that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And the promises that he made, we can hold on to for ourselves. The disciples, as they, at that time of Pentecost, they moved out into the streets of Jerusalem. And then from there spread out, sharing the good news of salvation, sharing the wonderful message of the one they had known, the one that they had followed, the one who had taught them. And they in turn were able to open the scriptures and teach those who came to faith afterwards, because God worked through them by his Holy Spirit. So it's important for us to realize that Jesus spent 40 days here on earth following his resurrection, but then he ascended. And that's where he is. But then we also need to recognize that he is coming again. And we need to be ready for that. Jesus taught a lot about that too. And I'm not going to spend time this morning doing that, sharing that, but he did say he is coming again. But this time he is coming to take us to be with him. And then one day he will set his feet again on the Mount of Olives. But we have a promise. And the promise is that we can know Jesus to be our Savior. We can know his presence with us. And we can know that as he gives us instructions, as he leads us on and encourages us to be witnesses. A witness is somebody who has experienced something that they can share with others. You know, I don't know whether you have witnessed an accident or an event. It's certainly different how people see the same event from different perspectives. But I want us this morning to just wonder at the fact that the one who came from glory is now ascended. You know, as the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that he is. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. After all he has done, he has sat down and receiving that reward that is his. But we're reminded, Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews says about the Son, the psalmist says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." And as we are reminded that Christ has ascended, he is seated. He is watching over. He is in control of all things. We wonder sometimes when we see things taking place, things that God allows to take place. But know that he is in control. If we hand ourselves over to him, he wants us to freely give ourselves to him that he might move through us. Those disciples who had been frightened after that weekend when Jesus had died and was buried and rose again, they got more confident. But their confidence was not there until the best confidence they had was when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they moved out. As God opened the truth to them of all those things that they had been taught through his ministry and through those events. As Christians, we need to recognize that we have one, we believe in one who came to this earth from heaven. One who came to this earth as a babe, grew up, and then at the age of about 30, he was baptized by John. The Holy Spirit descended and he went out to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. But for 40 days after his resurrection, he confirmed that he had conquered death, that Satan had no control over him. He had conquered Satan. Satan has limited control. One day he will have no control. But for 40 days, Jesus revealed himself to those disciples. And so they were able to learn more and to recognize who he was. And as he ascended, they didn't doubt, they didn't question, they didn't stop their standing, continuing to look into heaven, because they knew the promise. Because they knew he was a man of his word. And so, there are some people who say, you know, there are many ways to God. I want to remind us that there is only one. You know, it is such a difficult time that we're living in, when Islam is on the move and they worship a prophet, Muhammad, who is dead. His grave is there. His body is there. And the God that they worship is not the God that we know. You see, there's only one way. There's only one person who has left heaven, come to this earth, lived amongst men, and then returned to heaven. That is Jesus. And we can have confidence because we have the facts. I know we need to exercise faith because we have not seen Jesus face to face. But his ascension is important. Because when he returned to his Father, he was given all power and all authority. And then he passed on to us, from Pentecost onwards, the promise that he made of the Holy Spirit's presence, his Spirit present with us, so we can know him. We can know that he is in preparing a place for us, know that he is coming again one day to receive us. What a day of rejoicing that will be, when those who, when we all will be together. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we be forever with the Lord. There are so many promises that he made, that promises of Scripture that are being fulfilled. We look at the times that we are living in and we see so much of what he had told us would be taking place in the last days. But don't get disheartened. Look up, because your redemption draws near. You know, I was listening this morning, I was coming, and one thing that was said, that Jesus on one occasion said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake and rest a while. And as they got into the boat, he fell asleep in the stern of the boat, and you know what happened? The storm came and the disciples shook him and woke him up. Don't you care that we perish? And the person who was sharing about that said, you know, the problem is so often the disciples, Jesus had promised, we're going to the other side. But in that moment, what did they do? They didn't see or hear the promise. They got caught up in the events that were taking place, the storm that had risen. They took their eyes off Jesus, the one who was the promise, and they looked at the storm. And so often in the storms of life, we look at the storm. We don't see the one who can calm the storm. Remember, Jesus just got up and said, peace, be still. and there is a calm. Let us focus on Jesus, the one who died, was buried, rose again, and is ascended on high, but is coming again. What a promise. Sheila sang me a little song, Every Promise in the Book is Mine. Does anybody know that? Other than Sheila. I know it.
But there are just four lines to it. I can find the right key.
Every promise he has made, we can hold on to. That's how the disciples were able to go out, because they knew, as the Holy Spirit confirmed, the promises he had made, he fulfilled. Let's close by singing Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise, 323. We thank you, O God, that we know that your Son, who is our Savior, is now ascended and is sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, crowned with glory and honor. But we know that one day he is coming again. Lord, until that time, we pray that we might be found faithful, that we might know your presence with us by your Holy Spirit. So continue to minister to us and through us. May we be open to every blessing that you have for us. Lord, accept our praise and our thanks, for we bring it all in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.